when you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. USA.
Tell me, is love still a popular suggestion, or merely an obsolete art? Forgive me for asking this simple question. I'm unfamiliar with his heart. I'm a stranger here myself. Why is it wrong to murmur I adore him when it's shamefully obvious I do? Does love embarrass him, or does it bore him? I'm only waiting for my cue. I'm a stranger here myself. I dream of a day, of a gay, warm day, with my face between his hands. Have I missed the path? Have I gone astray? I ask, and no one understands. Love me or leave me, that seems to be the question. I don't know the tactics to you, but if he should offer a personal suggestion, how could I possibly refuse when I'm a stranger here myself? Please tell me, tell a stranger, by curiosity goaded, is there really any danger that love is now outmoded? I'm interested especially in knowing why you waste it. True romance is so fleshly. With what have you replaced it? What is your latest foible? Is gin rummy more exquisite? Is skiing more enjoyable? For heaven's sake, what is it? I can't believe that love has lost its glamour, that passion is really passé. If gender is just a term in grammar, how can I ever find my way when I'm a stranger here myself? How can he ignore my available condition? Why these Victorian views? You see here before you a woman with a mission. I must discover the key to his ignition. And then if he should make a diplomatic proposition, how could I possibly refuse? How could I possibly refuse when I'm a stranger here myself?
And hopefully you are no stranger to the wonderful and marvelous music of Kurt Weill. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 WLIW-FM, Long Island's only signature, one-of-a-kind, individual NPR station. That was Mary Martin singing a wonderful song from One Touch of Venus, which reminds us in many ways of Kurt Weill himself being a stranger to America and yet conquering it. So that is today's program. You might think of it as the Schiff Bauerdamm to Main Street, or in other words, Kurt Weill's journey from Berlin to Broadway, and a look at his Broadway shows, an extraordinary achievement with only 15 years. Within 15 years, it changed the American musical theater. And this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and I want to recognize that this episode, this particular special episode, is funded in part by the Kurt Weill Foundation for Music Incorporated, New York, New York. Well, let us go to the fall of 1935, when Kurt Weill and his wife and muse, Lotta Lenya, travel into New York Harbor, and he wrote, "I remember very well the feeling I had as the ship moved down the harbor past the Statue of Liberty and the skyscrapers. All about us were exclaiming in amazement at the strange sights, but Lotta Lenya and I had the sensation we were coming home. Well, Kurt Weill was nothing if not ambitious. He already had the reputation of creating the greatest musical theater piece of the early 20th century, Threepenny Opera in Berlin with Brecht. And he had a bit of an entree to the most important theater people in New York. He managed to sit in on some of the rehearsals of Porgy and Bess, and it just inflamed his ambition. He knew that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to conquer musical theater and evolve it and do extraordinary things with it in New York City. And he was lucky enough to meet some of the most original and powerful people in the New York theater, including the Group Theater, that wonderful organization from 1931 to 1941 that revolutionized American acting. And he teamed up with a book writer, playwright, who became the book writer and lyricist for a show called Johnny Johnson, an anti-war show that the group did with some middling success in 1936. The original score was never really recorded, but here is Burgess Meredith, who was a great pal of Kurt Weill's, singing the final song, Johnny's Song, from Johnny Johnson, the first American musical of Kurt Weill.
When man was first created, I'm sure his maker meant him for some good intent, kind heart and love, forgiving wrong. And though through ages fated to climb our wandering way, at last we'll find the day when joy shall be our song. I hear them say it's all baloney, the world's a mighty cruel place, with tooth and claw and promise phony, the old hard guy, he wins the race. But you and I don't think so. We know there's something still of good beyond such ill within our heart and mind, and we'll never lose our faith and hope and trust in all mankind. We'll work and strive while we're alive, that better way to find. As up and down I wander my weary way and long, I meet all kinds of folks who listen to my song. Toys, toys for little girl, boys. Toys. Toys. Toys.
That was a 1952 recording of Burgess Bugsy Meredith, as he was known, a great chum of Kurt Weill's and a great chum of Maxwell Anderson's, the great sort of poetic playwright of the mid early to mid 1930s. He sort of took the baton from O'Neill, and they were thrown together and got along famously. And Anderson had the idea to do a musical version of Washington Irving's stories about early New York City, New Amsterdam, and it became the musical Knickerbocker Holiday. And this was a very political show back then. It sort of poked fun of Franklin Roosevelt, whom Anderson was not particularly fond of. He thought he bordered on the fascistic, and Kurt Weill had obviously done several political shows with Brecht in Germany, but now he had the freedom to poke fun of people in high places, because that's what it means to be an American. So here is a song from a live recording. This is Master Voices, Ted Sperling at the baton, and our good friend Victor Garber as Peter Stuyvesant, and joining him, our great friend David Garrison, who sings our theme song every week on Broadway to Main Street.
I am only a man like yourself, but with a profound theory of government. Under any government, there is one man who handles the cash. The payoff man. You're the one indispensable man. In every government, whatever its intent, there's one obscure official with a manner innocent. His job invisible is purchasing goodwill with wads of public money taken from the public till. He's the one indispensable man.
Under one indispensable man!
There's little said about him, but you cannot do without him. For of governmental measures, there's but one omnipotent. It's the measure of your treasure, and just where and how it's spent. By the one indispensable man. By the one indispensable man.
Under one indispensable man, the governmental pocket, no matter how you stock it, will never win elections if there's no one to unlock it.
It's really very funny how governmental money transforms an opposition storm to weather calm and sunny. You're the one indispensable man.
I'm the one indispensable man.
The guilders spent on Sunday return in votes on Monday, and although you lost the argument with cash, your point is proven.
I've no horns, my foot's not cloven, I am plain mein Herr Tienhoven, and the one indispensable man.
And the one indispensable man.
Yes, although I'm reprehensible,
perhaps quite indefensible,
you'll find me if you're sensible,
completely indispensable.
The one indispensable man.
Yes, the one indispensable man.
Well, as Kurt Vile was living in New York, he got to meet some of the most, as I said, exciting, innovative people. He gravitated towards them. Nothing hackneyed for Kurt Vile. And he met the great playwright, director Moss Hart. And Hart had the idea to do a play about psychoanalysis. But as he spoke with Kurt Vile, they realized it needed to be a musical. And they dragged Ira Gershwin out of retirement. He was in California. And it's a good moment to recognize not only the Kurt Vile Foundation today, but the Ira and Leonore Gershwin Philanthropic Fund, who fund our show. So two great pillars of the American musical theater meeting on today's broadcast. The show became Lady in the Dark, and it was about a fashion editor who was somewhat repressed and conflicted, and her dream states were these mini operas that Vile and Gershwin came up with. And you hear Kurt Vile's uncanny ability to use popular music and international idioms. You'll hear a little bit of rumba in this, and yet make it very much his own, utterly recognizable. Here is Gertrude Lawrence, the original Liza Elliott. She cut a couple of records of Lady in the Dark. They didn't really do a cast album at the time, but you'll hear how brilliant Kurt Vile's musical vocabulary is. This is The Glamour Dream.
What Beatrice was to Dante, what Guinevere was to Lancelot, what Brunhilde was to Siegfried, what Pocahontas was to Captain Smith, what Martha was to Washington, what Butterfly was to Pinkerton, what Calamity Jane was to Buffalo Bill, what Carmen was to Don Jose. Are you to me?
Huxley wants to dedicate his book to me.
and Stravinsky his latest sonata. 7,000 students say they look to me to be at the Yale-Harvard regatta.
Oh, how lovely to be you!
How splendid!
What a holy is your due!
This must never be ended. Epstein says I simply have to pose for him. No refusing these artistic ultimata. Dumont wants me wearing a new house for him. Oh, how thrilling to be the world's inamorata. Oh, how thrilling to be the world's inamorata.
Just heard Uta Lemper, one of the great contemporary songstresses of the Kurt Weill world, singing another song from the Glamour Dream from Lady in the Dark, a 1941 hit for Kurt Weill, his first big, big, big hit. Well, it was only a matter of time before he had another hit, and he found a kind of odd book about the Statue of Venus that comes to life in contemporary New York. I find it a bit twee myself. But the original idea was to have Marlene Dietrich play the Statue of Venus, and she definitely, you know, led them on for some time, but ultimately she decided not to, and the part went to Mary Martin. And I would say the only thing Mary Martin and Marlene Dietrich have in common are the first three letters of their first name. But nevertheless, Weill teamed up with Ogden Nash in 1943 to write One Touch of Venus, another very popular hit with a lot of popular recordings. Here is Weill himself singing one of Venus's great songs. And, he, you know, we often play composers singing their material, but here he is so simple and his phrasing is so subtle and yet dramatic, and it gives you the best idea of how he wanted his material performed, really for actors to sell character rather than just to sing to the upper mezzanine. Kurt Weill singing a great song from One Touch of Venus.
You know the way you feel when there is autumn in the air. That's him. That's him. The way you feel when Antoine has finished with your hair. That's him. That's him. You know the way you feel when you smell bread baking. The way you feel when suddenly a tooth stops aching. Wonderful world, wonderful you, that's him, that's him. He is as simple as a swim in summer, not arty, not actory. He's like a plumber when you need a plumber. He's satisfactory. You know the way you feel when you want to knock on wood. The way you feel when your heart is gone for good. Wonderful world, wonderful you, that's him. You can shuffle him with millions, soldiers and civilians. I'd pick him out in the darkest caves and hallways. I would know him always. Beyond the doubt, identification comes easily to me, because that's he. You know the way you feel about the Rhapsody in Blue. That's him. The way you feel about a hat created just for you. That's him. That's him. You know the way you felt when you heard about repeal. The way you feel that you really shouldn't feel. Wonderful world. Wonderful you, that's him.
Will you tell me how these things happen? Have I trusted in love too much? When did the magic vanish? Have I somehow lost my touch? How gay the world could be.
That was Melissa Errico and Ron Raines singing from a studio recording of One Touch of Venus, a great song, Foolish Heart, that we should know much more of. This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and today's show is Kurt Weill in America. Well, let us go towards the end of World War II, and Kurt Weill teams up again with Ira Gershwin for a show called Firebrand of Florence, in which almost everything went wrong. It was miscast pretty much from soup to nuts. There was a recording strike, so we never really got an album of it, but it was a platform, the first American platform, that he wrote music for Lotta Lenya, his wife and muse. So here's a song she sang in the show. She recorded some years later, but it's the glimmer of a remnant of the cleverness of Ira Gershwin and Kurt Weill from the Firebrand of Florence.
I am not like Circe, who showed men no mercy. Men are most important in my life. Venus, Clio, Psyche are melodies in my key. They knew how to live the high life. Gallantry, I find archaic. Poetry, I find prosaic. Give me the man who's strong and silent, inarticulate but violent. Sing me not a ballad, send me not a sonnet. I require no ballad. Rhyme and time are wasted on it. Save your books and flowers. They're not necessary. The precious hours lost in grim preliminaries. Deck me not in jewels, sigh me not your sighs, duel me no duels, and please don't vocalize. Romance me no romances, treasure not my glove. Just make love. Spare me your advances. Just, oh, just make love. Books and flowers, they're not necessary. Oh, the precious hours lost in grim preliminaries. Deck me not in jewels, sigh me not your sighs, duel me no duels, and please don't vocalize. Romance me no romances, treasure not my glove, spare me your advances. Just, oh, just make love.
Make love.
Street Scene was a major play of the 1920s, written by Elmer Rice. It all took place with a in front of a facade of a tenement. And Kurt Weill realized it could make a great musical, and he was absolutely right. And he teamed up with Elmer Rice and Langston Hughes, the great poet of the Harlem Renaissance. And this is, I believe, the first time a major black lyricist teamed up with a major white composer for Broadway. In 1947, we're talking about. And it's interesting to me the way that Kurt Weill embraced so many American idioms like the blues, but he also wrote tremendous roles for African-American actors. We'll hear a little bit more when we get to Lost in the Stars, but maybe no one other than Yip Harburg or Harold Arlen wrote or strove to write so much in the African-American idiom. So here are two wonderful songs from Street Scene.
Show that star to you.
How about that kitchen faucet of mine, Henry?
I'll tend to that first thing in the morning, Miss Jones.
Says you.
I got a halo and a hat, but my halo
Wouldn't you like to be on Broadway and go dancing at the Zanzibar and have yourself an up-and-coming boyfriend who can make any course in par? Hey, kid! Wouldn't you like to be on Broadway and wear a lot of fancy clothes, red alligator shoes, a bright gold anklet, 17,000 black silk holes.
Hey, kid, wouldn't you like to see your name up in the bright lights, in the bright lights that gleam and glow? Wouldn't you like to be the leading fella in my heart, but also in some Broadway show?
Wouldn't you like some personal promotion to a niche on the great white way? Wouldn't you, hey kid? How about it, hey kid? Wouldn't you like to be on Broadway? So listen to me, baby, I know the way. Hey kid, it's easy. I show you the way.
Well, that last little song was a bit of a doff of the hat to Michael Cerveris and Donna Murphy, who starred as Kurt Weill and La Telenya in Love Music, a Hal Prince musical about 15 years ago. We are coming towards the final lap of our Kurt Weill in America show here on Broadway to Main Street. And there always seems to be a lot of argument about whether in shows like Street Scene, Kurt Weill wrote an opera or did he write a musical. I think, you know, what can I say? The days grow short. Let's not make that argument because I don't know how pertinent or terribly interesting it is. What is important to me, at any rate, is that he understood theater. He understood how music could be theatrical. He always eschewed the easy solution. And he worked so hard in America to master every idiom of American pop culture, but use it to dramatic effect, to tell stories. So, you know, frankly, what more do you need? One of the most unique and important composers in the American musical theater. Well, let us go to 1948, where he teamed up with Alan J. Lerner. Yes, the same Alan J. Lerner who had just had a success with Frederick Lowe on Brigadoon to write, they call it the first concept musical. It was certainly ambitious, called Love Life, and it was about a married couple over about 125 years of American history, kind of wacky. It's called a musical vaudeville, directed by that great musical comedy genius, Elia Kazan. I don't think so. The show didn't make it. We didn't get to hear the encores version because of the pandemic, which is too bad. Maybe we'll hear it sometime. But some of the songs have made it into cabaret recordings and various archival recordings. Here is Dorothy Loudon singing the heroine Susan's 11 o'clock number. And you can just hear the, not just the American idiom in the music, but the dramatic ambivalence that this character has about her husband. I love it. Dorothy Loudon singing Mr. Right from Love Life.
He will be a perfect dream of manhood. He'll be everything and more a man should. Tender as a flower, he'll look like Tyrone Power. That's all I want of Mr. Right. The year we wed, he'll make a million and retire. Then we'll lead a life of mad desire. He'll be part of me, I'll be part of he. It will be love at first sight. The day I find Mr. He'll father me and mother me and sister me and brother me, and in his arms he'll crush me and constantly mash me. And he won't mind if I spend all his earnings, long as I'm releasing all my yearnings. He will live for me, I will live for he. And we will live every night when I have found Mr. Right.
Yes. I know that somewhere in this wide, wide world there is an ideal man for me, and he will awaken me and complete me. With Mr. Right, I'll never have to explain a thing. He'll always know. We won't have to say a word to each other for years. If I'm upset because I had trouble with the sales lady in the lingerie department on the second floor of Gimbel's, I won't have to tell him. One look in my eyes and he'll know I had trouble with the sales lady in the lingerie department on the second floor of Gimbel's. And when I make little mistakes, as whom doesn't, he'll always be kind and understanding. If I give away all his new clothes by mistake, he'll smile. And when I break his razor shaving my legs, he'll only be amused. Yes, yes, that's Mr. Right. My darling Mr. Right. Oh, the moment that we meet, I'll tumble. Ah! I'll see him and I'll start to crumble. He will say hello and boom, inside I'll know. At last I found my Mr. Right. He'll take my hand and bing, my every thought will scatter. Then my heart will give a zing and shatter. Bells will start to ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling. And we'll get married that night. Bang! And I will have Mr. Right. He'll make not one mistake. He'll be solid good, just like that ring. He always could, not ever sweet or arty, but strong and bogarty. One look and I will feel I'm in a cocktail shaker. For I'll know that I have met my
Well, we're nearing the end of our Kurt Weill in America Broadway to Main Street show. We're going to have another show in the fall called the Kurt Weill Hit Parade, which are all the big fancy numbers from his musicals in America sung by all those big fancy pop crooners. So we'll look forward to that. Lost in the Stars was his last American musical, his last musical. He died in 1950, and this is the story of brotherhood and injustice, or brotherhood conquering injustice in apartheid South Africa. So we'll hear Todd Duncan from the original Broadway cast recording, and one of the most moving songs I know, about a pastor who must go to Johannesburg to find his son who has been jailed, perhaps unjustly.
It's nearly a year, Stephen, since we had a letter from our son. We do not know him now. He has been in the mines.
We must not cease to believe in him. We must love him and not doubt him.
How many miles to the heart of a child? Thousands of miles. When he lay on your breast, he looked up and smiled. Across tens of thousands, thousands of miles. Each lives alone in a world of dark, crossing the skies in a lonely arc, save when love leaps out like a leaping spark. Over thousands, thousands of miles, not miles, or walls or length of days. Nor the cold out of midnight can hold us apart. For swifter than wings of the morning, the pathways of the heart. How many miles to the heart of a son? Thousands of miles farther off than the rails or the roadways run. Across thousands of miles, the wars and the ways reach far and thin to the streets and days that close him in. But there as of old he turns round to grin. Over thousands, thousands of miles, not miles or walls or length of days, nor the cold of midnight can hold us apart. For swifter than wings of the morning, the pathways of the tens of thousands of miles.
Ginger and tomatoes, the best you bit into since you were born. If you want to make a supper dish fit for a king, look over what I offer. I offer everything. So try my black-eyed peas. The Garden of Eden had nothing like these. You'll feel like flying like a bird on the wing. You'll stay up there like a kite on a string. They're satisfactory.
the last 10 years. I haven't got a license so I can undersell. I haven't got a license so I treat you well.
And that was Carol Woods with a studio recording of a great song from Lost in the Stars. See how fun Kurt Vile can be. Well. Well, I want to thank the Kurt Vile Foundation for underwriting today's show. And we'll come to the great pop hit. I've chosen songs that I find interesting for dramatic reasons or the way in which they all come together to show you the full variety of Kurt Vile's artistry. But the days grow short and our hour is coming to an end, and let us hear the big hit. This is September Song, written for Knickerbocker Holiday and written specifically for the Broadway and film actor Walter Houston, who had a limited range, but that did not stop Kurt Vile from making it into an enduring classic. And supposedly on opening night, October 19th, 1938, Lorenz Hart tapped Vile on the shoulder from his orchestra seat at intermission and asked, "What are you trying to do? Put guys like me out of business?" Well, Kurt Vile would never put Rodgers or Hart or Gershwin or Berlin out of business, but he ranks so highly as a comrade in arms, a comrade in music, in the great spectacle of the American musical theater. So here is Walter Houston singing a song that always brought a tear to the eye of my parents.
But it's a long, long while from May to December, and the days grow short when you reach September. And I have lost one tooth, and I walk a little lame, and I haven't got time for the waiting game. And the days turn to gold as they grow few. September, November, and these few golden days I'd spend with you. These golden days I'd spend with you. When you meet with the young men early in spring, they caught you in song and rhyme. They woo you with words and a clover ring. But if you examine the goods they bring, they have little to offer but the songs they sing and a plentiful waste of time of day. A plentiful waste of time. But it's a long, long while from May to December. Will the clover ring last till you reach September? And I'm not quite equipped for the waiting game, but I have a little money and I have a little fame. And the days dwindle down to a precious few. September, November. And these few precious days I'd spend with you. These precious days I'd spend with you.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.